earlier today, I mentioned the concert coming up Sunday afternoon down at Coe College of contemporary music by Iowa composers. Well, one of those Iowa composers is now visiting me in the KUNI studios. His name is Jeremy Beck. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Mary. Good morning.
We've spoken before, shortly after you first arrived at UNI at the beginning of this academic year.
That's right.
You're completing your first year. Will
yeah.
I embarrass you if I ask you what you think of it?
I've been having a great time.
Wonderful.
If I can get through the next few weeks, I'll be great.
The students feel pretty much the same way.
I think so.
You have two works being performed this Sunday afternoon down at Coe, but you've got other works coming up in the immediate future as well.
That's right. This is a very busy month for me, which is a good thing for a composer to be able to say. Well, I guess it'll be 2 weeks from Monday on April 19th. Sharon Hansen and the UNI Women's Chorus will premiere a piece called Night Songs, which I wrote for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Philadelphia, at the end of the month, I will be flying out for a performance of my Rhapsody for clarinet and piano on a new music concert there.
All of these works that you've written within the past year?
And actually all of these, except for one of the pieces at Coe, all of these pieces are works that I've started either at the end of the summer and then completed once I was here or wrote while I was here.
Wow. Whatever happened to the 19th century inheritance of the Romantic composer sort of hitting his forehead, I cannot compose. I mean, you're outside the mold.
Well,
right?
I think I kind of go back and forth between centuries. I feel that sometimes too. But mm-hmm. but I've been, there are a lot of wonderful performers here at the School of Music, and I've been inspired to write a lot of music for them.
That's great. So
that's really wonderful.
Yeah, it is. When you look back over your entire output, do you notice distinct changes having occurred from one decade to the next?
I certainly think so. In looking back on pieces that I wrote as an undergraduate, it's fairly clear to me who I was listening to at the time.
You mean what composers?
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I can certainly hear pieces of Bartok and Stravinsky and mm-hmm. and all the sort of influences that I was most interested in at the time. I think at this point I've reached, sort of crossed the mountain of assimilation where I've realized what is mine and what I can glean from these composers and kind of find my own way now.
You're not a sponge-like.
I think I am, but I absorb in a different way than I did as a younger student.
Huh. When you were a younger student, did you attempt to emulate in terms of size of ensemble? Were you interested in doing things for huge groups? You
know? Well, actually, I was interested in, and my composition teacher at the time was very good about encouraging this, trying to always write for different ensembles with each piece mm-hmm. so that as a younger composer, I would gain the experience of trying to write a piano trio, writing a string quartet, writing a flute sonata, all these different combinations, mm-hmm. as well as a piece for orchestra and larger ensembles mm-hmm. like that.
When you look back over your early student work, say, mm-hmm. what's your reaction? Do you kind of cringe a little bit? Or?
No, I look upon them as, I think Brahms used to feel the same way. While he destroyed a certain number of his earlier pieces, there were also other ones that he felt were younger children. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way. There are a number of pieces that I find perfectly charming and interesting and would not be embarrassed to play for people or have other people perform. And certainly there are other works which I find less successful and probably mm-hmm. would not show anybody except my wife.
And then only under cover of
darkness. That's right.
Those of us who do not compose are always, when we think about these matters, think about, for example, what Beethoven, having composed his Ninth Symphony, would feel about the Eroica. I've heard the argument that he never thought about it. I mean, that basically he was going on to the next thing, and if somebody said, I loved your Third Symphony, he might say, where? What? What are you talking about?
No, that's probably, I could see that. That's probably true. And to a certain extent, that's that's true too, unless say if a performer is looking at one of my earlier pieces and has a number of specific questions, then then I would really have to go back and try and think about what I was doing in that piece. But for the most part, it is. It's moving on to the next and trying to learn as one goes.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who would like to know, next time you come, maybe you could talk about it in clear, slow syllables about how you go about constructing a piece.
Oh, surely.
Okay,
surely.
Let's do that next time. We've been talking with Jeremy Beck, and we'll keep you apprised about how he's doing now that he's moved to Iowa. Thanks an awful lot for coming.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay. You're listening to KUNI, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, Dubuque and the Quad Cities, and KUNY, Mason City, Broadcast Services of the University of Northern Iowa. The news is next, and then we'll have